Today's learning, firstly, is sponsored L'ilui Nishmas Yisrael Ben Chaim Shlomo by Moshe Sidram and the Neshama Shem and Aliyah. And anonymously, L'ilui Nishmas Malka Bas Meir, the Neshama Shehav and Aliyah. Okay, so today, this week, I'm going to give the topic of the Teren Kriya by the Kotel, the Kosel, however you pronounce it. Now that the skies have reopened to go to Eretz Yisrael, so Baruch Hashem, I'm going to be going with Hashem Wednesday night for a week, recruiting for the new yeshiva. So I figured I need to remind myself of some of the halachas and hopefully teach you also some of the halachas so you can be reminded for when you go as well. In addition to that, someone just asked me on Shabbos that he's going this week as well, and he's going to be going to the Old City on Rosh Chodesh. In the event that one goes on Rosh Chodesh, would one have to tear Kriya as well? Is that different? So let's go through just very basic halachas of the source of Kriya, where one does, how one does the Kriya, as follows. So let's take a look at number one here. There's a Gemara Mori Katan Daf Chavav. Daf Yomi, will get to this Mitzvah Hashem next week. We're a week away or so from this Daf. So the Gemara says, Are Yehuda Minalan. How do you know when it comes to the Are Yehuda, when it comes to the cities of Yehuda, you have to tear Kriya? We're going to learn that there are three locations where a person tears Kriya. One is the Are Yehuda, the different cities of the region of Yehuda. The second place is Yushalayim proper. And the third place is the Beis HaMikdash or the Makom HaMikdash. So the Gemara wants to know, Are Yehuda Minalan? How do you know that there's a requirement to tear Kriya when you see one of these cities of Yehuda that are in ruins? D'chsiv it says in the Pasuk, V'yavo anashim mishchem mishelo, mishila rather, u'mishomrom. The people came from Shchem, from Shiloh, from Shomrom. Shmonim ish migul chayzakim. There were 80 men who had shaved their beards. U'kruei v'godim u'miskodim. And their clothing was torn. U'mincho levona b'yodam l'havi beis Hashem. And they had a carbon to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. So we see from here that they came from the cities, torn clothing. This is referring to the Ari Yehuda. So that's the basis how when a person sees Ari Yehuda in Churbanan, you have to tear Kriya. So Gemara says further, Amar Rebbe Chelba, Amar Ula Bira, that was his name. He came from a place called Biri. Amar Rebbe Lazar, Haroa Ari Yehuda b'Churbanan, when you see the cities of Yehuda in the ruins, Omer, a person should not only tear Kriya, but you should also say the following pasuk. Omer Are Kachecha Hayu Midbar. The cities of Kodesh, the cities that were once sanctified, are now deserts. They're emptiness, they're desolate. The Kareya, then a person tears Kriya. And when you see Yushalayim b'Churbana, when you see the destruction, the ruins of Yushalayim, Omer, you should say, Tzion Midbar Hayisa, Yushalayim Shemama. Tzion, Yushalayim is a desert land, and Yushalayim is a desolate. The Kareya, then one tears Kriya. And Beis HaMikdash b'Churbana, then when a person sees the Beis HaMikdash in its destruction, Omer, Beis Kadshenu v'Sifartenu are Holy house, our house that's been so glorified, Asha Hilalucha, Avosenu, that our fathers had praised Hashem, Hayul Srefas Esh was burnt, V'chol Machmideinu, Hayul Churban Olar, that which was dear to us was destroyed. So this is the source that a person has to tear Kriya on these three different places. Karei Al Mikdash, so let's say a person now is traveling, and you see the Beis HaMikdash, you tear once in the Beis HaMikdash, and then Mosif Al Yushalayim, then you could say that same Kriya, and extend it for Yushalayim. So in other words, you do Kriya once for a Beis HaMikdash, and then that same Kriya, when you see Yushalayim, you could pull down a couple more inches, let's say. But then the Gemara says, wait a second. We're Minhu, we have a Brisa that says the opposite. Echad HaShemeya, whether you heard about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Vechad HaRoa, or you saw the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Kevin Shigil Tzofim, once you got to a city, whereby you could see Yushalayim from this location, Kare, you tear one Kriya on the Beis HaMikdash. This brisa says that you can't take a tear and add on to it. You have to have three separate kriyos. One kriya for Ari Yehuda, one kriya for Yishalayim, and one kriya for the Beis HaMikdash. The brisa previously said, no, do one kriya and then just add on to that same kriya. Pull a little further for the Beis HaMikdash, Yishalayim. And Gemara says, it depends on the direction you're going. And Gemara says, lo kashya. Ho de pag b'mikdash b'risha. One is where you first encountered the Beis HaMikdash, had the paga Yushalayim Bereish, and one is where you saw Yushalayim first. What does that mean? So let's say a person first sees Beis HaMikdash. He comes from that direction, he sees the Beis HaMikdash b'Churbana, he tears Kriya. That's the worst type of Churban we know. And then he goes into the old city, sees Yushalayim, he does not need to tear a separate Kriya, he could just pull it down a little bit further. But if, let's say, a person, like most of us, are going to be walking through Shar Yafo, so we're first going to see Yushalayim, we're first going to tear Kriya Yushalayim. Then we're going to see the Kotel, and we're going to say, oh, this is the Makom HaMikdash, we're going to tear a second Kriya. it would be inappropriate to take the kriya of Yishlaim and to extend it for the Beis HaMikdash. We have to tear an entirely separate kriya for the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the difference. If you see the Beis HaMikdash first, you tear kriya and you can be Moses for Yishlaim. But if you see Yishlaim first, you first tear Yishlaim and then an entirely separate kriya must be done at the Kosel.
But you're not saying when. Is it when you see the Kotel after a week, or do you do it after a month? Or
yeah, so the din is 30 days. If it's been 30 days since you've last seen it, you're supposed to tear Kriya. Within 30 days, you don't. It happens to be a very interesting minhag. A person who was born and raised in Yerushalayim, even if he's never seen the Kotel, he doesn't tear Kriya. That's a special exception. Everyone else, all of us who were not raised and born and lived in Yerushalayim, so every 30 days, we have to tear Kriya when we see it. If you see within 30 days, so then you would not have to tear Kriya. So we're going to get to all those details. Well, I'll answer that question first. We're not going to elaborate on that. But they understand that the old city from Shayafa, any of the gates within, that's called Yerushalayim. Anything outside, although we call it Yerushalayim, it's not considered Yerushalayim, the Gabi this halacha, because only the old city was considered the times of the Beis HaMikdash, not all the expansions beyond.
Somebody who's paying Yerushalayim taxes, for instance. In other words, they get taxed the same way as any other place in Yerushalayim gets taxed. That can be considered living in Yerushalayim?
No, I don't think so. Tax, I don't think it has anything to do with taxes.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
This. Yeah. Yeah.
So what would so only somebody who was born, grew up, and lived?
That's my understanding. That's like a special minhag.
In the old city?
I think in the old city, I would imagine. Yerushalayim probably wouldn't work. It has to be in the old city, which is probably very rare, few, if at all, anymore. But that was a special exception for living in Yerushalayim, they said, in the old city.
If you're flying with a plane, you're coming from the States and it's making a big turn, and before landing, you look down.
If you do, I doubt you can, but who knows? But if you can, when it says the place, when you see from Tzofim, you see Yerushalayim from this area, so they don't mean Dafka, a city called Tzofim, although such a city exists. The Torah says anywhere in the radius, you're able to see it. So if, in theory, a guy's in a helicopter or in a plane, and you could see it, so then one would tear Kriya as well, I would imagine.
You have to be wearing your own clothing.
You can tear your new clothing if you like.
But they have to be your own clothing.
Oh, your own. So we'll get to that. So we'll mention now, since you mentioned that, I will wait to the end to mention that, the borrowed clothing at the end. Fine.
So you have to do it every 30 days, even if you're in Israel, for example.
If you haven't seen it in 30 days. Yeah, even if you live in Eretz Israel, right.
Even if you're in Eretz Israel, you have to do it, let's say, 12 times a year?
Again, if you go only every 30 days, then yes. If I go every 2 weeks, then I got you the count. I restart the clock so I could avoid it. So there's some people who live in Yerushalayim who try to go every within 30 days to avoid having to tear Kriya. But if not, if you go 30 plus days, then you have to tear Kriya each time you go. So now let's first talk about Ari Yehuda, then we'll talk about Yerushalayim, and then we'll talk about the Beis HaMikdash. So Ari Yehuda, if you look at number 2 here, the Gemara says, or rather the Beis Yosef says, Hi Ari Yehuda. Now I should point out that Ari Yehuda is very different than Ari Yisrael. The two different regions of Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to go through the borders right now. So many Mefarshim say that even though Ari Yehuda is mentioned in the Gemara here, it means any of the Ari Yisrael, any city that was once established and no longer exists, one would tear Kriya. But we'll see in a moment how, anyways, it's all irrelevant, Bizman Hazeh. So in terms of the Ari Yehuda, the Beis Yosef writes them a very, very important din. And it's going to be more nogea for the halachas of Yerushalayim, actually. So here he writes in number 2. The halachas are found in Siman Tav Kuf Samach Aleph. After Hilchos Tisha B'Av and Shulchan Aruch, then the Shulchan Aruch talks about various halachas related to Zecher L'Churban in general, such as when a person replasters his home, he should leave an Amma by Amma, unpainted or unplastered, and other halachas like that, or putting ash on the chassan's head at the chuppah, or breaking a glass at the chuppah. He lists all the different dinim of Zecher L'Churban. So these are one of the dinim mentioned in Siman Tav Kuf Samach Aleph of Teren Kriya at the Makom HaMikdash in Ari Yehuda and Yerushalayim. The Beis Yosef writes, Hi, Ari Yehuda, b'churbanon, when it describes the cities of Yehuda in its destruction, in its ruins, the Kamar, Hainu Shein Charavos, that they're destroyed. Vein Bam Yishuv Klal, no one's living there. You can't live there, no one's settled there. It's completely destroyed. About Im Yesh Bam Yishuv, if people are settling in these cities, Afal Pishein Bidei Goyim, even though it's under the rule, under the control of Goyim, Hayat Nir Lechara, De'ein Tzarech Lekra. We don't care who's in control. The Beis Yosef says it depends. Can you live there or can you not live there? And if a person can live there, even though it's under the rules of the British, under the, you know, Muslims, whoever, the Christian, whoever is owning it, running at the time, we don't care who the government is. If people live there, that's not b'churbanon anymore. That's not called ruins, and you wouldn't tear kriya. That's his first approach. But then he says, efshir, it's possible, the chol shein bidei goyim, anything that's under the control of the goyim, even though, afa pi sheish bam yeshuva, b'churbanon mikri. If it's controlled by the non-Jews, that's called destruction. That's called in ruins, even though there are houses and nice houses and nice buildings and nice streets and everything's running nicely. But if we're not in control, that's called b'churbanon v'chein ikar. That's how he paskins, and one with tekriya. So b'zman hazeh, that'd be very relevant to know which cities are under our control, which cities are under other people's control. But seemingly, one would not have to tekriya since it's under the control of the Israeli government. That's what comes out from the Beis Yosef. Now the Piskei Tshuvos writes, he brings down from the Sefer Eretz Yisrael, from Rav Tukachinsky, that it doesn't make a difference, this halacha, when it comes to Ari Yehuda. There are two reasons why we don't tear Kriya when you see Ari Yehuda. We're not talking about Yerushalayim just yet. If you see another city, I don't know, Shechem, Yericho, I don't know the different cities that are under Ari Yehuda. Whatever these cities are, we don't tear Kriya for two reasons. His number one is, Menosein Beis Tamim Ledavar. He explains two reasons why we don't tear Kriya Bezman Ezeh. Chada, number one is, Ki Ari Yehuda, we don't know the exact boundaries. We don't know exactly which cities were around during the Beis Hamikdash, which cities were not. And since it's a safek, we're not going to make you tear kriya. That's number one. And secondly, od the bismanenu shabam Yerushalayim mitzad mar. We come from the west to Yerushalayim, lo mitzad darim, not from the south. Ein pogim lifnei Yerushalayim bar Yehuda. Now I don't know the lay of the land really, to be honest. But somehow most people, if not all, they see Yerushalayim before they see all the other cities of Ar Yehuda. Yes, there are many settlements you're going to pass from the airport to Yerushalayim, but those settlements are not considered the Ar Yehuda. All the Ar Yehuda are past Yerushalayim. So therefore, since you see Yerushalayim first, so once you tear on Yerushalayim, so you don't need to tear a second time on the Ar Yehuda. Now, according to this, you come from a different direction, and you see the Ar Yehuda first, this wouldn't answer, but you still have the first answer that we don't have the proper Gvul Osayim. We don't know the proper borders or cities whereby what was considered Ar Yehuda once upon a time. That's accepted practice. We don't tear Kriya by the Ar Yehuda. But now, we can move to the discussion of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, we read the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch pretty much is what we saw in the Gemara, but let's read this clearly in the Shulchan Aruch, number four. Shulchan Aruch writes, Roa Yerushalayim b'churban, a person sees Yerushalayim in its ruins, Omer Tzion Haisa Midbar Shemama, that's a pasuk a person should say. Ukshiro Beis HaMikdash, when you see the Beis HaMikdash, you should say, Omer, Beis Katrenu V'Sifartenu Asher Hilalucha Ba'avoseinu, Hayal L'Sreifas Eish V'chol Mechamadenu L'Hayu L'Chorva, V'Korea, and then you tear Kriya at that point. Umehechan Chayiv L'Kor, when do you tear Kriya? Where? From what point? Minat Tofim, from the city of Tofim, or wherever you could see Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Acharkach Kishira HaMikdash, so you walk through Shire Yafo, you tear once. And then you walk to the Beis HaMikdash or to the Kosa Plaza, Korea Kara'acha, you tear another Kriya. V'chol kriya tefach, each kriya must be a tefach long, and it's also going to be, it's not explained here, but it has to be on the left side, right above the heart, the chest, that's where you tear. It's very hard for anyone to rip these Tuileries shirts, or any shirt for that matter, very difficult. So a person should either bring a razor or get a scissor. Usually you could stop by one of the stores, they can give a little scissor there, cut it for you a little bit, and then you tear with your right hand, tear kriya. Once, it's harder, but I've tied the pockets rip off. It doesn't bring the shirt, it doesn't really help. So you need to cut a little bit here, and then you tear that way, and you have to do a second one, once for the Yerushalayim, and once for the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the halacha brought down by the Shulchan Aruch. Now, Bizman Hazeh, you're all wondering, wait a second, the old city of Yerushalayim is not B'churbana, where people are living there, it's nice, it's clean, and number two, it's run by Israeli government, by a Jewish government, so Bizman Hazeh, one should not need to tear Kriya when entering into the old city, and that's in fact what Rav Moshe writes. Rav Moshe writes in two tshuvas, if you look at number five, he writes, Igos Moshe, or Chaim Chelik Dalad Simon Ayin Oz Yud Aleph. Read just the bold here. Actually, read from the beginning. In Yesh Lekroa, Hayom Al Rias Yerushalayim, if there's a reason to tear Kriya on modern day Old City Yerushalayim. Veilo HaNosim Leret Yisrael, Mistaber, it makes sense. Shiaf Shadain Lo Nigalenu Bavonos HaRabim, even though we have not yet been redeemed in our time, Ein Lekroa Berias Yerushalayim. He felt it would be inappropriate to tear Kriya in Yerushalayim.
He
says, number one is Yerushalayim is so beautiful now. That's Rav Moshe's time, even more so now. It's clean, it's built up, people are living there, their yeshivas, their homes, their minyanim, their shuls. And also, we're no longer under the rulings of the Goyim, that we own it, we have full control of the Israeli government. And for those two reasons, he writes that one, need not tear kriya in the old city. Fine. Now, just look at the last line. We're going to just keep in the back of mind before we get to the end of this. Or Moshe writes here in the underline, Ukshiroan Ari Yehuda, Shehem. Actually, that's not what I want. I wanted the, not underline, right after the bold. The Tarach Levarech Rak Berosa Makom HaMikdash. Only when you see the Makom HaMikdash do you tear kriya in the Mikdash. Af Kishiroan Ose Merachok. Even if you see it from the distance, from the helicopter. The Kol Shekein Kishiban the Kosel. Certainly, when you get to the Kosel, one would have to tear kriya for the Makom HaMikdash. Now, we're going to get to some argue that the Kosel is actually not sufficient. We'll get to at the end. But just to have in the back of your mind, Rav Moshe's Shita, that seeing the Kosel is sufficient as considered seeing the Makom HaMikdash. Fine. Now, that's all Rav Moshe. He felt that nowadays, the old city of Shlaim is, in fact, B'Yishuvan and does not warrant a separate kriya. Now, turn to the other side of the page. Rav Moshe reiterates this point as well. In this next tshuva, I'm just going to read just the bold here. Shim Kain, Ata Shebechaz de Hashem Yisbarach, with the great Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Mushlam Moshlim HaUmos Al Ari Yehuda VaYishlaim. The Goyim are not in control of these cities. V'heim Gam Miyoshveim, and it's also settled. Hu Atam Agado Shelo Likro. This is a very big reason, a great reason why one should not tear kriya in the old city of Yishlaim. Even though Mashiach hasn't yet come, and we're still scared of the crazy Muslims, we still don't have to tear kriya. That was the psak of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, not everybody agrees to this, and actually, pretty much all the Israeli poskim argue on Rav Moshe, and that's for a variety of different reasons. So first, take a look at Rav Shlomo Zalman here in Mincha Shlomo. He argues on the point of, is this considered b'yushuvan? Is that considered living? We live in Baruch Hashem, the old city. It's very nice. There are many Jews who live there, and many shuls, and many yeshivas, and a lot of learning going on there. But at the same time, there's still Muslims who live there. There's still Arabs who live there. There's still non-Jews who live there. And he writes, for that reason, it's not called B'Yeshuvan just yet. Look what he writes in number 7, Minchas Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simen Ein Gimel. Chushvani, I felt, and I thought, the Chol Zman Shiroin Adayin B'Yah Kodesh V'Mikdash Knesios Shel Nachum. We see gatherings, we see the mosques, gathering together, and Gam Kivri Akum, and also non-Jewish cemeteries in the parts of the old city, I guess. Ein anu yicholon lemaker pulchan anuchar. We're not able to uproot the avodah zarah that takes place there, whether it's Christian avodah zarah, whether just non-Jewish worshiping. Adain hu bechurbana. It's still considered bechurbana, and he therefore argued in emotion, felt one should certainly tear kriya when entering into the old city. That was his argument of emotion. Now, the Orchas Rabbeinu, which quotes from the Chazon Ish, different practices, so he had a different understanding, very, very interesting. I'll read it to you what he says. Shalti es Marina Rabbeinu, hello, he asked the Chazon Ish, hello, Muvan, it's understood, with respect to the Kriya, Beroa Ari Yehuda B'Churbanan, Dim Yisrael Sholtin Pater, that if Klai Yisrael, if Israeli government is ruling over the different cities, we're Pater from Tearing Kriya. Imkain, he says, Efshar dehua dinata, shikavshu is Yishalayim. Nowadays, that we've taken control, Baruch Hashem of Yishalayim, so it's under the control of the Israeli government, so we should not have to tear kriya when entering into Yishalayim. Vanali, Marenu Rabbeinu, the Chazon Ish responded back, Sheshalu azez gon Reb David Jungreis, Zetzal, he asked the Shaila as well. Vanalehem, and he answered, very interesting, Shami Rikayim, the Americans, Shalton, they're the ones in control. Vialpiyam Yishakakol, based on what they say is what we do. We're scared of them, yes, Israeli government. But at the end of the day, we know because there's so much dependence we have on the United States, there's not, we can't do whatever we want. There's not free independence. And therefore, Hichzik Amenu Bisvar Zu, Chazon Ish very much liked this Svara. But also he added as well that he had some other point here. But either way, he said that since the Americans are the ones really calling the shots and pulling the strings, it's not really under our control. Now, that's a very different perspective than we find in Rav Sternbach. So while the Chazon Ish's svara was, we're not really under a Jewish control, Rav Sternbach writes a bit differently. He writes,
what year was that?
I'm not sure. It doesn't say what year exactly. My guess is the 70s, but who knows exactly? Who knows?
Rav America Hanazatzal was giving a lecture in Bar Ilan, and I think it was 1982 or whatever. And he yelled out at all the students, who do you believe in, Rabbi Reagan, Ronald Reagan, or the Ribbono Shel Olam?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the point. So nowadays, it seems to be the same. Yeah.
So when we're talking about that there's
of Goyish institutions, let's say, in in the area, and therefore you should care Korean. It almost sounds like the reason why you're here in Korea is because of the Avodah Zarah that's there, not because of the Churban that's there.
Yeah, yeah, Rishon Zalman mentioned that point, that Churban means, even if it's doesn't mean settled, doesn't mean living there, but whenever there's Avodah Zarah that we cannot uproot, get rid of, that shows is a weakness in our ability to live and function properly, in the Kedusha, I guess. Yeah, in Echanami. Now, look at Rishon Zalman, he writes this. Yeah, sure.
So if you happen to have a place that you can, from your porch, you can see Harabais, or you can see the old city, that seems like it's not a question about being there.
Correct.
It's a question about seeing.
Correct, yep.
So you wouldn't have to tear Korea.
Correct, exactly. If you,
so
present...
if you went to the promenade, let's say, where you can see a cross, and you do that, you know, every less than every 30 days, you wouldn't have to necessarily... Go
correct. It's all about seeing. Ria, I read somewhere, maybe the Klezmer, I don't know. I don't remember who it was. But he would actually close his eyes when coming through to the old city because he wasn't sure whether you'd tear Kriya. And even though he was there, but he didn't see it. And they would, someone, again, escort him until he got to the coast and to tear Kriya there, something like that. But that just proves it's about Ria, not about being present. So in regards to a Summa, now, what would a Summa do? I don't know, the halacha. If it's about Riyah, then Summa certainly would be Pater. But if it's about maybe if a Summa could sense, you know, feel, maybe it's more about the emotions, most people, by seeing it, will get their emotion. You don't have to be there. Maybe a Summa, by being in the old city, being told where he is, that might, get him emotional enough to tear Kriya. I don't know the answer to that, though.
You know, it sounds like it's almost best to tear Kriya when you're on the steps where you can see over the Kaisal.
Oh, yeah. If you're walking down, if you're not... If you walk down and you see it, whatever direction you take, the Kotel and the Tivari route or on top of Eisha Torah, yeah, if you see it there, that's you shouldn't wait at that point. Okay, so now look at Rosh Shemek, what he writes. And he pretty much, I'll say it's outside pretty much what he writes, but he says that even though there's an Israeli government, since the Israeli government isn't a religious government, that doesn't qualify. And we don't get to the politics here, but that was his understanding. It has to be a religious-run government. So based on Rav Shermach and Rav Shlomo Zalman and Chazanish, they all felt that one should, in fact, tear Kriya in the old city, either because it's not considered fully settled or because it's not under the control of a Jewish or religious government. Okay. So now... Yeah, you could turn the whole Eker Moshe, but my approach would be as follows. You're tearing a shirt anyways. Mm-hmm. So once you get to the Kosel, so why not tear that same... you do it once here, then once over there. It's ruined either way. So nothing lost by doing it. Now, let's get to... we'll talk about the Beis HaMikdash, and then we'll talk about the various exemptions, how one could avoid, or if one can avoid, tearing Kriya. So in terms of the Beis HaMikdash, what is considered seeing the Beis HaMikdash? So we already saw Ramosha earlier in one of his tshuvas. He wrote, if you see the Kosel or the Kotel, you see that wall, that's considered seeing the Makom HaMikdash. But again, the Israeli poskim all argued, or not all, some of them argued in Ramosha. They quote here in the Dirshu Mishabura, that Rav Tukachinsky, he said that you have to see the ground, the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, the ground, the top of Harbai. Seeing the Kosel, that was not a wall, the Beis HaMikdash. It's understood. It has been a discussion whether it is, whether it's not. There's a discussion whether you could touch the wall, you can't touch a wall, could you stick your fingers in the cracks, you not stick your fingers in the cracks. They bring down here that the Chazanish would actually touch the walls when he would go, but he wouldn't touch it, put his fingers in the crack. That might already be considered inside the Beis HaMikdash, but that was certainly not the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. It was a wall that went around the Beis HaMikdash, but not part of the Beis HaMikdash proper. So some say that's not enough. You have to see on top of that. You have to see the floor. Now some point out, they bring here that seeing the Bach and the Pas Shulchan. The Pas Shulchan was a Talmud of the Gra. He made his way to Eretz Yisrael. He was a big, a lot of halachas of Zra'im. We learn from the Pas Shulchan. He happens to have a fascinating Hakdama, the Pas Shulchan, about the Gra. He writes how special the Gra was. And the Gra's father taught him all, or had him had tutors teach him all different subjects under the sun, in addition to Torah. And he said the two most powerful, deepest subjects that we exist outside of Torah itself is mathematics and music. These are the two highest subjects that get you to the highest levels of Torah. The one subject that his father did not have the gra learn was medicine. He was concerned that the gra learned medicine, he would have been the best doctor in the world and would have no time to learn. So he didn't let him learn refuah. Outside of that, he learned everything else. Fine, that's just a hagdama of the Pa'a Shulchan. Now, the Pa'a Shulchan writes that if a person sees the dome of the rock, the mosque, on top of the Har Bayis, that is also like seeing the Makom Mikdash in the Churbana. The coast itself, that's the wall. But seeing that terrible thing on top, that gold dome, that is seeing the Churbana, and that certainly does deserve one to tear Kriya. So there's different opinions, but either way, whenever you see the Kosel, the Kotel, you're certainly seeing the dome of the rock as well. So you've covered all your bases, and it warrants saying tearing a Kriya at that point. Now, are there any exemptions of tearing Kriya? So I know some of you mentioned before about borrowing someone else's shirt. Is that going to work? So I don't have it in front of me, but the Piskei Tshuvos brings down such an exemption. Borrow someone's shirt, and this way you could avoid it, because I borrowed your shirt to wear, not to tear Kriya, not to destroy it. And he felt, and many poskim, if not all, felt it was a terrible thing to do, to borrow someone's shirt, and based on halachic reasons and based on hashkafic reasons. Halachic reasons is that, based on how Matana works, I'm not going to get into those details, but he doesn't think it's real, considered, it's not considered borrowing really, whatever those details are. But then he writes, we can't give up one shirt for the base of Mikdash that's destroyed. One shirt, okay, even an expensive shirt, even if you want to spend $150 on an expensive shirt, you can't spare that for the Makom Mikdash. Okay, you go every so often, so you're going to tear a few tears a year. Okay, but this is a Makom Mikdash, the base of Mikdash is destroyed, we can't give a few $100 over to show how sad we are about this. So hashkafically, it would be inappropriate to try to avoid doing it, but even halachically, they felt that it wasn't considered giving. If a guy gives you a shirt, he gives you a shirt to wear to use, and that means you're going to be the Makom Mikdash, you should tear Kriya anyways, so don't rely on the heter borrowing. All the poskim are very much against it. But the other heter, which is brought down by many poskim, is as follows. If you take a look, actually you don't have this in front of you, I'll read this for you. The Piskei Tshuvos brings down the following minhag. And he says, the Bach writes that when a person tears Kriya, Chayiv Livkos, he needs to cry, Ulis Onen, be in terrible pain, Ulis Abel, and mourn, Ula Konen, and the Kinos, Mizmor Lasov, he should say, a certain Kapitel Tehillim, and it should be a really emotional, it shouldn't be just like a Kriya and then move on, it should be a person, it should be sad. I mentioned a few weeks ago on Shabbos morning in Drasha, that in Hakotel, I was zochah to see, anyone who was in Hakotel was zochah to see Rav Nevinsol twice a day. He would stand by a window, look over at the Makom HaMikdash, and he'd cry. You'd see tears go down his cheek twice a day. We can't even do that once. Twice a day he'd do this, and I caught him a couple times, and just like you see a tear just dripping down his cheek. So that's the type of emotions, the experience we should have when tearing Kriya, not just the tear Kriya and go weiter. And then one should say the Baruch Dayan Emes without the Shem HaMalchus. Then he writes the following minhag. The minhag, which many are familiar with, the minhag al-pi gedoli Yerushalayim mihadoros ha-kodmim, from the Yerushalmis, from the earlier generations, have the following minhag. She'ein korin u'mekonin ba'arvei shabbosos v'yamon tovim. Mechatzos hayom ve'elech. If a person wants to avoid tearing Kriya, if you go to Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, so then there's no inin of tearing Kriya. There's no avelus at that point. Just like a person who's sitting Shiva, Erev Shabbos, you have to end early in order to get ready for Shabbos. Here as well, after Chatzos, one does not tear Kriya, and Chol HaMoed as well, and Yimei Purim, one doesn't tear Kriya either. V'nogin lahakel, and that's the practice to be lenient in this matter, and to go to Yerushalayim and the Makom Mikdash in this way to avoid tearing Kriya. And that's a very good practice, he writes. He says, Rosh Chodesh doesn't qualify. The guy who asked me on Shabbos, he's going Rosh Chodesh, does he tear Kriya? I said, you do tear Kriya in Rosh Chodesh. It's not the same level as Purim, not the same level as Erev Shabbos. Fine. That's all what the Piskei Tshuvos brings down. But many, many poskim were very much against this. And among them was the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish writes here in Orchos Rabbeinu as follows. He says, where did this go? Hold on. Page Kuf Pehe. The Maskal Od Amar. Here we go. Od Amar. Already Rabbeinu Shehor Rebbe Baran Chazon Ish Zetzal Shemuchuyavim Likroa Gam Be'erev Shabbos Kodesh Lacha Chatzos. He said that one has to tear Kriya afterwards. Within Kriyas B'chol HaMoed, he said Yesh L'Hakel, there's room to be lenient and not to tear Kriya. And Rosh Chodesh as well, one has to tear Kriya. And that was the Pesach as well, that on there's no such basis for this minhag, one must tear Kriya even if it's Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. So there's a machlokas in the minhagim here. Now, Rav Shermach, his understanding was, you want to get around it, this is the way to get around it. He quotes this machlokas, Chazon Ish versus the other minhagim, and then he writes, Nira, di kara rak be big day Shabbos. This heter to avoid tearing kriya after chatzos is only if you're wearing big day Shabbos. Why? Ho b'kriya yizbata mitzvos kavod Shabbos. Because if one tears kriya on his big day Shabbos, now he's mevatel mitzvos kavod Shabbos. V'chein ein chiv l'kro b'kiagavna. But if a guy goes in his street clothing, his weekday clothing, on Erev Shabbos after chatzos, you would have to tear kriya according to Rishurmach, but big day Shabbos, one would not have to. So either way, a person should not try to avoid it. A person should bring an extra pair of shirt, an old shirt, something to tear kriya. It's worthwhile. It shows how sad we are, how much we want the Makom HaMikdash. And there's a chus in doing so, which be zochah to seeing the rebuilding of the base of Mikdash with the Gula Shema Ba'amitas. Here of Yamenu, Amen, Yamen. I am not here next week. I'm out of town, Eretz Yisrael. But Mitzvah Hashem will continue afterwards.